Archer, your hair is so big. I know, it's growing so much I need to cut it again. Actually, no, I'm going to let it grow long. Oops, I got disconnected. What happened? Can you guys still hear me? Oh, there we are. Are we back? Yes. Sorry, you guys, something just happened. Are you guys back? I hope you're back. Good. Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I didn't hit anything. It's the curse of the fat one. Big Fatty strikes again. Ruined.
It's not just ruined. It's me, Big Fatty, online.
I got disconnected.
Well, hello, everyone. It is the Fat One, and this is episode 201 of the BFO for Wednesday, the 12th of November, 2008. Coming up on today's show, Big Fatty's going to update you on the memory lane on CBS, and I've got a very special little clip I want to play for you. Oh, Lord. Hi, everyone. I hope you're doing well here on Hump Day of this week. Now, y'all, I have been a little remiss in getting this word out, but we still have some time. Y'all, tomorrow, Thursday, the 13th of November, which is also the full moon, is World Kindness Day. And it is a day, this is actually World Kindness Week, but tomorrow, Thursday, is actually World Kindness Day, and this is all part of the Random Act of Kindness Foundation. And, you know, Big Fatty is big on the Random Acts of Kindness. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention and just kind of mark that on your calendar. And you know, maybe you can do something as simple as, you know, like perhaps Big Fatty will not be, try not to be quite as gassy tomorrow for a World Kindness Day, you know, so that there's not as much methane out there. Y'all, I watched the CBS Early Show again this morning, and they had on about the 60s today, and they had different TV stars. They had female actresses as opposed to those male actresses, I guess. I don't know what that means. But they had some female TV stars from the 60s. They had Barbara Eden on from I Dream of Jeannie. They had Marianne on from the Gilligan's Island. They had Barbara Feldon on. She was Agent 99 on The Get Smart. And they had on Sissy from The Family Affair. And they, y'all, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the outfits that the anchors were wearing. One, Julie Chen had on something. Maybe there's a picture over at the CBS, over at the Early Show that you might want. It's worth going to see. But it looked like she had a thing of Jiffy Pop sitting on her head. I swear to God, it was horrifying. But, you know, they were talking about all the different foods and all that became popular in the 60s, like Tang. You know, Tang was the same thing that the astronauts drank. And they had the Bundt cake and the big fondue pot. And anyway, they tasted the Tang, and it was vile. Now, y'all, Big Fatty has been over to the iTurds, and I have received another five-star review over there from Pug Boy. Now, I don't know who Pug Boy is, but Pug Boy, thank you very much. And it says, very funny, five stars. I love the randomness of this podcast. Y'all, that may sum it up better than anything else anyone has ever read. It's just random. You know, Big Fatty just starts talking and, you know, God only knows what will come out of his mouth. Big Fatty has a lot to say about nothing, and I love it. Well, thank you very much, Pug Boy. And Pug Boy, I think you need to get over on the listener map over at the BFO and just let me know who you are over there. Yeah, I said that. Now, y'all, I know that, and Big Fatty you know, Big Fatty doesn't get political much here, but every once in a while, I think the fact that I don't do a whole lot about the politics sends a signal that when I do something about when I said do when I do something about the politics, maybe it's like, oh, well, let's see what Big Fatty has to say about that, because, you know, he's not nattering on about something that's making him gassy. So let's tune in now. And anyway, you know that I watched the Keith Olbermann, the Countdown with Keith Olbermann, and I don't want to turn those of you off who may not like his program. But on the Monday show, he had a very special comment at the end of his show about the Prop 8 deal. And I just found it, I found it to be, well put. And I mean, he chose his words carefully and obviously with emotion, and you can hear that in his voice. And regardless of what you think about Keith Olbermann, I would like for you to, he's on the MSNBC Monday through Friday at 8/7 Central. But I'd like for you to just kind of listen to this. Now, it's 6.5 minutes, so that's 6.5 minutes of your life you're not going to have to listen to Big Fatty, or that you're not going to get back. So if you want to fast forward, go up 6.5 minutes. But I really wish you would listen to this. And so here it is.
Finally, tonight, as promised, a special comment on the passage last week of Proposition 8 in California, which rescinded the right of same-sex couples to marry and tilted the balance on this issue from coast to coast. Some parameters as preface. This isn't about yelling, and this isn't about politics, and this isn't really just about Prop 8. And I don't have a personal investment in this. I'm not gay. I had to strain to think of one member of even my very extended family who is. I have no personal stories of close friends or colleagues fighting prejudice that still pervades their lives. And yet, to me, this vote is horrible. Horrible. Because this isn't about yelling, and this isn't about politics. This is about the human heart. And if that sounds corny, so be it. If you voted for this proposition, or you support those who did, or the sentiment they expressed, I have some questions, because truly, I do not understand. Why does this matter to you? What is it to you? In a time of impermanence and fly-by-night relationships, these people over here want the same chance at permanence and happiness that is your option. They don't want to deny you yours. They don't want to take anything away from you. They want what you want, a chance to be a little less alone in the world. Only now you are saying to them, no, you can't have it on these terms. Maybe something similar if they behave, if they don't cause too much trouble. You'll even give them all the same legal rights, even as you are taking away the legal right which they already had. A world around them still anchored in love and marriage, and you're saying, no, you can't marry. What if somebody passed a law that said you couldn't marry? I keep hearing this term, redefining marriage. If this country hadn't redefined marriage, black people still couldn't marry white people. 16 states had laws on the books which made that illegal in 1967. 1967. The parents of the president-elect of the United States could not have married in nearly one-third of the states of the country their son grew up to lead. But it's worse than that. If this country had not redefined marriage, some black people still couldn't marry other black people. It is one of the most overlooked and cruelest parts of our sad history of slavery. Marriages were not legally recognized if the people were slaves. Since slaves were property, they could not be legally husband and wife, nor mother and child. Their marriage vows were different. Not until death do you part, but until death or distance do you part. Marriages among slaves were not legally recognized. You know, just like marriages today in California are not legally recognized if the people are gay. And uncountable in our history are the number of men and women forced by society into marrying the opposite sex in sham marriages, or marriages of convenience, or just marriages of not knowing. Centuries of men and women who have lived their lives in shame and unhappiness, and who have, through a lie to themselves or others, broken countless other lives of spouses and children, all because we said a man could not marry another man, or a woman could not marry another woman. The sanctity of marriage. How many marriages like that have there been? And how on earth do they increase the sanctity of marriage rather than render that term meaningless? What is this to you? Nobody is asking you to embrace their expression of love. But don't you as human beings have to embrace that love? The world is barren enough. It is stacked against love and against hope and against those very few and precious emotions that enable us, all of us, to go forward. Your marriage only stands a 50-50 chance of lasting, no matter how much you feel and how hard you work. And here are people overjoyed at the prospect of just that chance and that work just for the hope of having that feeling. With so much hate in the world, with so much meaningless division and people pitted against each other for no good reason, this is what your religion tells you to do? With your experience of life and this world and all its sadnesses, this is what your conscience tells you to do? With your knowledge that life, with endless vigor, seems to tilt the playing field in which we all live in favor of unhappiness and hate, this is what your heart tells you to do? You want to sanctify marriage? You want to honor your God and the universal love you believe he represents? Then spread happiness. This tiny, symbolic, semantical grain of happiness. Share it with all those who seek it. Quote me anything from your religious leader or book of choice telling you to stand against this, and then tell me how you can believe both that statement and another statement, another one which reads only, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You are asked now by your country, perhaps by your creator, to stand on one side or another. You're asked now to stand not on a question of politics, not a question of religion, not on a question of gay or straight. You're asked now to stand on a question of love. All you need to do is stand and let the tiny ember of love meet its own fate. You don't have to help it. You don't have to applaud it. You don't have to fight for it. Just don't put it out. Just don't extinguish it. Because while it may at first look like that love is between two people you don't know and you don't understand and maybe you don't even want to know, that love is in fact the ember of your love for your fellow person. Just because this is the only world we have and the other guy counts too. This is the second time I have found myself in 10 days concluding by turning to, of all things, the closing plea for mercy by Clarence Darrow in a murder trial. But what he said fits what is really at the heart of all of this. He said, I was reading last night of the aspiration of the old Persian poet Omar Khayyam. This is what he told the judge. It appealed to me as the highest that I can vision. I wish it was in my heart. I wish it was in the hearts of all. So I be written in the book of love. I do not care about that book above. Erase my name or write it as you will. So I be written in the book of love. Good night and good luck.
Well, now, y'all, Big Fatty does not get serious, but that's like the third time I've listened to that, and it's pretty powerful. And I think that Keith Olbermann's words have shown that what Big Fatty has been saying is that this is a beginning, okay? And people are noticing. It's not going unnoticed what happened in California, and it's a beginning. So, and I had a conversation with Captain Commando in the coal mine yesterday, and I said, you know, this in 30 years or in 40 years, what are people going to look back and see the people of your generation doing at this point? Is it going to be Stonewall 2? Are they going to look back with favor and say, my, they were courageous and they fought for what they believed in and they realized it was worth it? And I think that it's this generation's opportunity to do that. And so, anyway, God, Big Fatty getting serious. What will be next? You know, I mean, next thing you know, Auntie Vera will say something nice about it. Well, we know that's not going to be the case. Y'all, did you see the smart-ass remark that Auntie Vera posted on Big Fatty's 200th show? In fact, I usually do not I usually do not say things about the comments that are posted, but this one cannot go. This one cannot go, especially after hearing all of that about the love. I just want to share the love that Auntie Vera had for Big Fatty on his 200th show, because the old thing says, wow, what an amazing 200th episode. Makes me not even want to do my 200th. How could I possibly top this one? Wow, just wow. Huh? What? I'm sorry, I dozed off. What were you saying? Well, y'all, you know, the poor old thing, she is looking for any excuse not to do something special for her 200th episode. And y'all, quite frankly, Big Fatty's 200th episode, not a big deal. It was a Tuesday show. I didn't make any self-promotion about it or anything like that, because, you know, it's not a big deal. However, if it had taken me as long as it's taken Auntie Vera to get to 200, it probably would be a big deal, because, you know, that poor old thing, she barely can get around the house. Then she has to tell us that she's got the windows open, or it's cold because it's 60 degrees and she's got to sit around in her bathrobe, and that she goes and buys a shirt in a box at the dress store. And, you know, the poor thing, and y'all, I realize that the poor old shut-in is going to be on the boat for Thanksgiving. Can you imagine how much food? Well, you know, she's going to eat like there's no tomorrow when she's on the Golden Shower Princess. But anyway, can you imagine, I mean, seeing that turkey try to stuff herself? Oh, I can't do this with a straight face. Anyway, Miss West, I would like for you, when you're on the ship, I would like for you to make a detailed list of everything that Auntie Vera shoves in her pie hole on Thanksgiving Day. That is Big Fatty's request for you. Y'all, you know I love me some Auntie Vera, and you know we're all just having fun. But anyway, if you don't listen to Auntie Vera, you don't really need to. You can just listen to Big Fatty, and he'll tell you the important parts. But, y'all, he went on and on about how I stole the cruise ship update. And, y'all, if you'll remember how yesterday's show started, he started off by saying, I have stolen this from Big Fatty. This is how Big Fatty does it. I admit it. I'm stealing it. You know, like, he was some kind of fucking innocent thing pointing that blame at me about the cruise ship thing. Y'all, it was just to show you that, you know, not that old sea hag ain't the only old sea hag that's going to be on the open seas in the next 6 months. But anyway, okay. Dear sweet Lord, what a natter fest. I can't believe it. Y'all, one of the things that they showed on the CBS was different toys and all that were popular in the 60s. And y'all, I was looking through the Target toy catalog that came in the Sunday paper with the circulars. And y'all, one of the things that was in here was popular in the 60s, and that was the Slinky. Did you ever have a Slinky? I think they're made of plastic now, but y'all, the Slinky ain't a Slinky unless it's metal and it got all bent up and, you know. Oh, it's the classic metal Slinky at the Target for $2.99. That would be a random act of kindness. Go buy a friend or somebody a Slinky. You can't not enjoy life if you don't have a Slinky. But I do want you to remember this.
I got disconnected.
You can leave a comment on the website at bigfattyonline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@bigfattyonline.com, or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438, and give me your good gosh and gay. Me! This has been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.